Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
City Tap House, Grant and Danny, live from Penn Quarter on the Fan. We are just a few blocks from Capital One Arena. The Caps play tonight. Right here on the Fan, just after 7 o'clock, you'll hear John Walton's call. The Nats are in action this evening against the Orioles. They're trying to take a three-game set from Baltimore. They can win tonight. They'll win the first two games of this series. That game at 6:45 will be over on the Team 980. That starts in 4 hours after they walloped the Birds last night. 7-0 out hit them, 14-1. Danny, I did want to mention, this happened toward the end of our show yesterday, and I didn't see it until we were done. I felt bad about it. But Mike Patrick, who is a long-time sports broadcaster and one of my first favorite play-by-play guys as a kid when I really fell in love with that role and that industry and the way of calling games that he provided. He was a part of a booth that was my wheelhouse when I was a little guy growing up. Sunday Night Football on ESPN. So this was before Network Sunday Night Football, Night in America, all the stuff that they've had on NBC and wherever else. This was Mike Patrick, Paul McGuire, and Redskins legend Joe Theismann. And Mike Patrick, who passed away yesterday at the age of 80, he had golden pipes. But his voice with McGuire and Theismann, it was perfect. But it was synonymous with big football for me. Because from when I was old enough to remember to probably my favorite Redskins teams, 99s, 2000s, he called all the biggest games. So the distinct memory I have is my favorite team ever in this town, the 99 Washington Redskins, winning the division at 10-6. And they were in San Francisco for what I'm guessing was like a Week 16 game, maybe the penultimate game of the season. Maybe it was Week 17, I don't know. But they clinched the division by beating the 49ers that night with Mike Patrick on the call. And I still remember before the play, you know, him and Paul McGuire and Joe Theismann talking, and they go, "Do you think the Redskins know what's at stake here?" And like yesterday, I remember sitting in my basement on the couch, and Centers catches a pass from Brad Johnson, and Centers just walks into the end zone. But the call from Patrick was, "Centers, wide open." That's peak childhood.
Yep, right there.
He's no longer with us, but so many moments like that I can remember with him on the mic.
Yeah, he was here locally. I mean, it was went to GW, by the way.
That I did not know, honestly.
Yeah.
He was a DMV guy?
Yeah. I mean, when he passed here this past week, was in Fairfax, Virginia at the time.
A lot of time
in Northern Virginia. Like, as you said, like, there are certain guys, and there's a lot of folks who have done, a lot of announcers who have done sort of a wide range of things. Like, there are some really good broadcasters. Guys like a Sean McDonough, for example, has done everything under the sun. There are a handful of guys, though, that for whatever reason, I think it's because of their ability, when they're on the call, whatever it is feels bigger. Nance has kind of gotten to that point. He's gotten to that point. There are a handful of other guys. Mike Patrick was that for me. It felt more significant if Mike Patrick was doing the game, right? Whether it was Sunday Night Football, which they had forever, or a College World Series game. It felt like a bigger deal when he was doing it. And the ability, this is something I thought was remarkable that he had. So, like, I'm a Gus Johnson fan, for example. Like, I think it's okay to be excited, even in play-by-play, when something big happens and he's going nuts. Patrick could rise to the moment without shouting. That's such a rare ability if you think about it. And it's not to knock guys that get excited when somebody hits them and you go, oh, and you lose your mind. But he had that sort of, there's an extra rumble, there's an extra bit of emphasis or whatever you want to call it. He was so good at that for like those kind of moments you're talking about where you see it wide open. Like that was big without him going, you know, losing his mind or blowing his voice out.
This was Mike Patrick on the call of one of the iconic plays in NFL history, certainly one of the most memorable plays of my childhood, the Music City Miracle, where the Titans, with the throwback pass on a return, beat the Buffalo Bills.
Dyson and Bird are deep. Taken by Neal. He gives it to Wycheck. Wycheck, that looked like a forward pass. Taken by Dyson.
C.K. they just told me he lived right by Old Keene Mill in Fairfax County Parkway.
Yeah.
How did I not know that? I used to get so psyched for Mike Patrick.
I was always kind of secretly hoping to run into him when we moved to Fairfax not too long ago.
So has he always lived here?
I don't think he always did.
That adds to the, by the way, the broadcast team of him, because I think I remember my mom was, she still is, like she texts me probably once a week to get Joe Theismann on the show. That's like her show tip all the time. I'm like, yeah, we're doing our best here. We're pushing through. She's like, how's everything going? I'm like, eh, could be better.
She's like, you know what Here's a strategy.
You need to get Joe Theismann on the show. And I'm like, I agree. I love Joe Theismann. But anyway, that was her broadcast crew too because of that. But so him and Theismann are just having drinks in Herndon all the time? Like they're just hanging out at the Vienna Inn? Like, that's wild to me.
Uh-huh.
So did he work at a local – now I need to look up his career. At a local TV, or is it just random that he lived here?
I don't remember exactly how it went, but I know that I remember being at GW and finding out that he had gone there as like, you know, after I graduated, like, hey, here's – look at this list of broadcasters and pretty influential people.
So he was a revolutionary.
He was not. It was Colonial at the time. They only changed it recently.
Did Darris dump that or no?
I think it's okay because that's what they were called.
Okay, it's
before.
Like saying Redskin now.
Yeah, it's information. Okay. I don't. Maybe somebody was offended. You don't know, but he went here and was commissioned in the Air Force, and I think he was mostly a local guy. I think he was on a couple of local networks here for a short amount of time, but it was another of the distinguished list of folks that have been local broadcasters. But you know, I only knew him as a big national silly.
Well, that 99 call. In fact, I bet you I could find it on YouTube and maybe watch it in the next couple of weeks. But it's funny how that, you know, your childhood, the nostalgia, like burns things into your memory as if you're burning a CD or something. But I can remember that broadcast and specific things about it like it was a week ago. And it's been 26 years.
Yeah, Paul McGuire just starting every sentence with, here's a guy, and then like explaining what
Paul
the guy
McGuire
was.
Paul McGuire was a 10, too. Yeah. Big personality. Arif Hasan covers the NFL draft. It starts tomorrow. The Commanders have the 29th pick. You heard from Adam Peters yesterday. We're going to talk about some of the things Peters had to say as the show goes on, including how much more complicated the process is for Washington now that they're picking at the bottom of the first round and so much is to be determined and out of their control ahead of them. But we'll talk to Hasan about that. What does he think happens at the edge position? Where do those guys come off the board? What's it mean for the Commanders? That's next live from City Tap House, where we're getting ready for Caps hockey in Penn Quarter today on Grant and Danny.